This morning, I do want to continue talking to you about questions that God has asked of His creation, that God has asked of man. And this is an appropriate question too, I think. And the timing is all God's. This being the Sunday before the 4th of July, and we celebrate the wonderful sacrifices, as terrible as they may have been, for people to have to sacrifice the ultimate sacrifice, for us to have the freedoms that we have. It is wonderful still for our country to have the freedoms that it has. And because we strive to keep these freedoms, we always seem to have troubles in the world or even at home, don't we? And that's nationally speaking, that's even in our own homes. The division that comes. And so this morning, the question that I am going to discuss with you, I think, is very appropriate for us, especially as a Christian, and we look at our life in serving Christ. So this morning, I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to ask that you stand with me, as I promised, in honor of God's Word. Luke chapter 12, and I will begin reading in verse number 51. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse number 51. And Jesus is speaking. He says to us, "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against a son against a father, a mother against a daughter against a mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He did not come to bring peace on the earth." Father, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you that we have your words to teach us and to guide us and to strengthen us in moments like these when we have questions about what you're saying to us and what it means to our life. And I thank you that you have asked these type of questions of us to strengthen us as your people and to honor you as you have honored us. Lord, I ask now that you help us and grow us and teach us to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. So these questions that we have been looking at that God has asked of man have been questions that pointedly force us to focus on our own life and the things we do in life. If you remember, just a quick summary, the first question we looked at was the first question that God ever asked, and it was when he asked Adam, he said, "Where are you?" And we understand what that question means. And then the second question that we looked at was the question when he asked Eve, "What is this that you have done?" And then Cain, "Why are you so angry?" And how many of us have gone through stages in our life where these questions apply to us? And God has an answer for us. And in all of them, it is turn to me. Turn to me. If Adam had listened to God and done what God said, we wouldn't have this sin in the world. If Eve had listened to Adam and done what God had told her through Adam, we wouldn't have this sin, and Adam wouldn't have had a choice to make. So it's both mom and dad's fault, isn't it? Cain, if he just listened to God and did what God said was right, he wouldn't have had the punishment that came upon him. And that's why he was angry. He wanted to do it his way. And God said, "It's not acceptable." People still struggle with that, don't they? Even in our world today. And then we moved into the New Testament. And the questions that Jesus asked of his people, his disciples, his apostles, and the crowds around him, especially to the disciples, who do people say that I am? And followed that with, who do you say that I am? What a wonderful look at who Christ is to us, and what a wonderful question to help us really make that conscious decision on who he is to us in our life. And then last week we talked about this question. When someone asked of him, help, give me my sight. And the question was this, do you believe that I am able to do this for you? And so the question then turns back around to us. How much faith do we have in Jesus and in all of our walk in life? How much faith do we take each step with that God is with us? That God is always going to be with us. He is going to be our shield and our comfort. He is going to be our protector, our strength. He is going to be what he has promised to be, our salvation unto eternity. And then the question today, since we are walking in faith with Jesus every step of the way, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, the question then we have to ask ourselves is, do we think that God has us walking through this life just to bring peace to everyone we see? Do you think Jesus came to bring peace on the earth? And Jesus clearly answers that question. He asked it of his disciples, do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? No, I did not. I mean, that's really kind of hard to take in when we think of who Jesus is and what he means to us and the purpose of his coming. And when we begin to think about what peace is, now think about, what does peace mean to you? Think about this. What does having peace in your life look like? I have just a few things that I have written down. Peace in my life would be living in an area where there is no civil disturbances ever. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You never have any civil disturbances? I mean, how wonderful would that be? I'm not even going to say everybody gets along at home. That don't happen. Right? The chicken's not fried good enough, or something's not done the way it was supposed to do. I swept the dirt under the rug instead of throwing it out the front door. Something at home is always going to be done differently. But man, wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a place where there is no civil disturbance? How about freedom from oppressing and disturbing thoughts or emotions just within ourselves? How many times have we, just in our car alone, driving down the road, have had a very disturbing thought or emotion that we wish we could get away from, but the flesh always seems to get in the way. And we always react in a way that the old man would react and not the way that God would have us react. Civil disturbance, oppressing and disturbing thoughts or emotions within ourselves. How about just having peace from the freedom of sin altogether? In all of the world, we could walk anywhere in this world from our house to our neighbor's house to the Alabama or Georgia, and there be peace. How wonderful would that be? And Jesus asked us, though, do you suppose that I came to bring peace on the earth? And I think we really need to bring into context the question that he's asking. Because so many times I think people stop right there at the beginning. Do you think I came to bring peace? And we automatically jump into this idea that he is here to bring peace. But he's not. Because we don't listen to the question in its fullest context. Do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? And that's where you need to grab hold of the real focus point here. Jesus didn't come to bring peace on earth. He's bringing peace in eternity, in heaven, for those who can find the strength to live as His disciples, to live as He calls us to live, knowing that we will face trouble and trials and tribulation. I tell you, I did not come to bring peace, but rather division. In Matthew chapter 10, it's written like this, quite similar, but a little different. Hear this. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. I mean, what a burden to wake up to about who our life as a Christian really is, what it should be. The divisions that we are going to experience, the troubles that we will face because we stand with Christ and not with the world. He didn't come to bring peace on the earth. The earth is at war with God. It is at enmity with God. He came to break that enmity for those who would come in faith to Him and find repentance of sins and forgiveness of sins. He didn't come to bring peace because there are some people in this world that will not repent of anything. They just won't. There are some people in this world that will tell you that God is not real. They just won't accept it. There are some people in this world that will tell you that you are a blooming idiot because you believe in God and fairy tales. I saw a wonderful thing this week. It said, if Christianity in the Bible is nothing more than stories and fairy tales, then why is it banned? In all the countries that it's banned in. Why is it talked so badly about? Because nobody bans any of the other fairy tales we have out there. Nobody bans anybody from watching or looking at movies that are made up on all these Disney fairy tales, do they? They celebrate them, but when you bring Christ into the picture, they don't want it. They don't want to hear it. That is the natural rebellion of the flesh and the spirit of the evil one against God. And He's in the lives of everyone until they find peace with God. And they only find peace with God through Jesus Christ and becoming His disciples and having our eyes open to this truth. Jesus didn't come to bring peace on this earth. He came to bring division. Because once we step outside of this worldly way and step into a Christian way, the world says, I don't want any of that here. Not now, not ever. Leave. And that's putting it politely, isn't it? I did not come to bring peace. I came rather to bring division. But there is teaching in Scripture we need to remember. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us and explains to us this, that even though we will not have peace in this world, And even though the Spirit of God in us is not here to bring peace, but the sword so it can cut and divide, it hurts when our spirit really learns that it is at war with God. It hurts when our spirit learns that it needs to repent of sin. It hurts to know that God's just not going to take us for who we think we ought to be because we think we ought to be that, even if He doesn't like it. Paul says to us, even though we will face these trials and tribulations in the world, when we stand before the world and claim our faith and live our faith in Jesus Christ, that we should also live like this. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. We are to live peaceably with all men. If you share the good news of Jesus Christ and people reject it, you've done all you can do. Do not take that 10-pound study Bible and try to beat them in the head with it. It doesn't work. Don't get in a yelling match with them. That doesn't work either. We cannot make people believe. God has to give them that faith. We are saved through faith alone, and that is a gift of God, not of ourselves. Least any of us should boast. But faith comes by the hearing of the Word. Faith comes by seeing the Word lived in our lives. And eyes are opened, and ears are opened, and hearts are broken. And God can work with that. But in as much as is possible with us, as it depends on us, we must live peaceably with all men as best as we can. What does that mean, that we stand with them if they're divided against God? Well, no. You can't dishonor God just to say you have peace with somebody in this world. That's not serving God. Did Jesus walk by the tables and at the temple and walk by without kicking them over because He was angry at what they were doing to His Father's house? No. You have made my Father's house a mockery, a den of thieves. And He ran them out, kicking over tables and a whip made of cord, and boy, He was running them out. Standing on your faith sometimes requires something that seems crazy-like to those walking in the flesh. You might look like a madman or a crazy lady. You see that crazy lady? Look at that madman over there. This is what it means to walk in faith and to be that Jesus disciple that He has called us to be. This is what it looks like for all Christians when they are walking faithfully with Christ. He didn't call us so we could just bring peace into the world. He called us to show what peace looks like within us, despite the world. He called us to share that they can have that peace within themselves because of Jesus Christ alone, despite the world. But He didn't come to bring peace in this world. Tribulation is coming to this world. Suffering and punishment is coming upon this world. And to those who reject the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what's coming to this world, to this earth. So as much as it depends on me, I need to try to be at peace with all people as best I can. As much as it depends on you, you need to be at peace with everybody as best as you can. And if you can't be at peace, separate. And let God work in their lives through somebody else. And you honor Christ in yours. But living a Christian life sometimes requires hard decisions, doesn't it? Because we are in this world that hates its own creator. And I know we have so many things in Scripture that talk about Jesus. And we have this in Isaiah chapter 9. It says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful." And his name is Wonderful. The name of Jesus. "His name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace." So how do we reconcile this with what we are told in the Old Testament by the prophet Isaiah, that he's going to be the Prince of Peace, and then he's on the earth and he says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? Not at all." How do we reconcile that? We have to go back to what I was saying at the beginning. He didn't come to bring peace on the earth, but the sword, division. But what he did come to bring peace, or what he did come to bring is peace to people on this earth who are walking in their faith with him, through him, and given by him, who have found peace with God. And that's where peace begins in our life. If you want to have peace in your life, then you have to find it first with God. Because God opens your eyes to many things that are happening in your life and in the world itself. And you begin to see things differently and you begin to understand things a little better. It doesn't mean that you appreciate the things that are happening. It just means you understand it better. And when you understand things, then you know how to approach things, right? How many of you ever watched that cartoon, G.I. Joe? And knowing is half the battle. That's how they always finished, right? Knowing is half the battle. How can we as Christians, if we don't really know God, know how to fight the battle, even to take the first step? We have to understand that we must first have peace with God. And it comes through Romans like this. I want you to hear this. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's how you find peace with God. You repent of sins, you get justified through Jesus Christ, and you have peace with God. Because now you have a mediator between you and the Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior. How many of you remember Job? I remember Job. Job has one of the greatest prophecies that I have ever encountered in reading the Scripture. I mean, there's so many wonderful things, but this one is so important to me and to all of us. Oh, Job, he was suffering. He was out in the dumps, scraping off sores with broken pottery, and friends, oh, his friends. We have friends, right? Stand around and tell us how bad we are, and God's really against us, and it's a battle between him and his attitude internally on if he's going to listen to the world and his friends and blame God. Job never would. He kept crying out, "I don't know, I don't know." He even says a few things that are wonderful when you think about all that he must have been contemplating. He lost his whole family. But there's one point in this Scripture where he says something in the book of Job. He says, "Who is God? He is not a man that I can contend with him. He is not a man that I can take him to court and have someone stand between him and me. So that I can have someone stand between him and me. Do you hear what he's saying? Do you understand what it means to have Jesus now standing between you and the Father as a mediator? So that when the accusations are brought now, God's not throwing you on a dump so that you're scraping sores off with broken pottery. Jesus is standing there before the Father and saying, Father, this one is mine. He's mine. She's mine. And we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He didn't come to bring peace on the earth. He came to bring peace to those who will faithfully bend the knee, bow the head, and walk in the faith they have received and the mercy they have gained through Jesus Christ. Not only does he give us peace with God, he gives us peace within our own minds. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. How many of us, when the troubles start to rise, that's the first thing we turn to? Flipping that calendar, that little dial a deck in our minds. Oh, here it is. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He brings peace to us. And he gives us peace with God the Father, and he gives us peace of mind knowing that we have peace with the Father and that we have salvation in him, and he's overcome the world, and there's nothing that we see in this world or face in this world that is going to bring us down or take away our faith, because God is greater than anything in this world and he has overcome the world. I mean, do we believe that? Is that how we're living? It's hard sometimes to live that way, isn't it? To remind ourselves that we have peace with God and that we are saved in Jesus Christ and he has overcome all of these things in the world. You know, life still gets uncomfortable. It still has its hard times, its ups and its downs. And there is still civil disturbance, and there is still government disturbance, and there is still individual disturbance, and there is still suffering, ourselves fighting with ourselves. Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody, how many of you ever heard of D.L. Moody? Great evangelist. Worked a lot in Chicago. He said, the greatest adversary I have ever faced is not any man I've ever stood before, but myself. But myself. And isn't that our biggest battle? Being what God is calling us to be, doing what God is calling us to do, speaking like God calls us to speak, living for Christ as he lived and died and still lives for us now. Take up your cross and follow me. If we can't take up our cross and follow him, he said it, you are not worthy of me. You know what we see in the Old Testament? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And why don't people even fear God anymore? I think if people had a real sense of fear of God and who he is, we would see Christians living Christian lives. faithful lives. We would see people celebrating on the streets the goodness of God in their life, pleading with their neighbor, even on the streets, to pray for them because of the troubles that the world is bringing upon them. And they need intercession. They want friends to intercede. You know, this is one reason why the Scripture tells us we should never forsake the gathering of ourselves with fellow believers. If we try to stand on our own out in the world, we will surely fail. But when we come together and we celebrate together and we pray together and we sing together, we are strengthened together. Because when I don't see or feel God moving in my life at times, sometimes I think I'm abandoned or I'm forgotten. But when I can see Him in others and they're celebrating, it reminds me it's not just about me. It's about all of us and our life together in Christ. And I can walk with peace again. I don't have to go, oh, woe is me. Woe is me. Because God has saved me through His Son, Jesus. And Jesus has said to me, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. And on top of all of that, I hear that. I also hear Him say this, but in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. You still got to face the evil one. You still got to face those challenges in life. But be of good cheer. These things are already finished. They're done. And one day, we will see it no more. What a glorious day that will be. Jesus came to bring peace for those who will bow before God. He gives us peace with God through His sacrifice and through His life. He came to bring peace of mind to those who were faithfully following Him every day. And He came to bring peace to us in life as a whole. As I've already been sharing, but let me share this from Philippians. Be anxious for nothing. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That brings peace to my life. If I could just remember it. If I could just remember it. I'm talking to a crowd here. I think y'all understand what I mean when I say if I could just remember it. How many of you went from one room to the other this morning and couldn't remember why you left that room and went into the other one? Amen, amen. And you don't have to be as old as we are to do that. Just absent-minded. I know if I go from one room to another looking for something and it's not where I know it's supposed to be, it wasn't because I moved it. I know who moved it. Or covered it up with something else. I'm meddling now. But if I could just keep this in my mind 24/7, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know what this is really saying to us if we step back and we listen to this question that Jesus asked of His disciples? Do you think I came to bring peace to the earth? No. I came to bring division. I came to bring the sword. Now you have wisdom and understanding of what you're going to face in the world because of Him. And so you can step back again and say, because I understand it, I'm not anxious over it anymore. I know why they're so angry. I understand what it is that's happening in this moment. And Satan will not win. He cannot win because I am a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And I walk in my faith with Him, because of Him, and through Him. And I shall overcome by Him. I don't have anything to be anxious about. Nothing. Not a thing. No worries at all. None. Except this one. That when I do what I think God's telling me to do, I do it to honor Him and not myself. Because isn't this why we walk with Christ, to honor Him? Isn't everything to honor Christ? Isn't everything that is made and all things to come to bring glory to God and to the Son who has created all that is? The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, it will guard our heart and our minds so the emotions are kept under control and we have wisdom because our hearts and our minds are in the hands of Christ under the guidance of the Holy Spirit who has sealed us for the day of redemption. And I can step back and be careful not to chuckle out loud because that might make the situation worse. But smile within and say, I understand, Lord. And as much as depends on me, I can leave that moment peaceably between me and whomever it is. As best I can. To honor Him who has loved me so, who has loved you so. Do you think He came to bring peace on earth? I think it's clear He did not. When you see how the world reacts to Him, when you see how the world reacts because He's alive in you, He did not come to bring peace, but division. On the outside of our homes and on the inside of our homes, there is division because of Christ. But be anxious for nothing, for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, this is guarding our hearts and our minds through Christ. Once we have that, then we can walk with this. And I leave you with this verse. Jesus is speaking in the book of John. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and let it neither be afraid. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My peace I give to you. His peace. Individually. Not to the earth. But to those who will faithfully follow Him. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you know how to have peace despite all the things that are happening around you? Within you? Do you know how to find that peace if it's missing? If you belong to Christ, you've got to go back to Him and say, Lord, help. Help me let go. Help me give it to you. Lord, take this luggage off from me. Take this suitcase away. Throw it out. I don't need it any longer. Take this burden. Help me understand and remember you better in my life every day. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can't have peace just in an emotional moment. You had a wonderful emotional moment with a group of people singing a song or having a cheer or listening to a good story. That's not the peace you need with God. You need the security of that peace every day with God. And you only find that by repenting of sins, calling out on Christ to forgive and to heal and to make you whole and new again. Only through repentance can you find salvation. But once you have salvation, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is to have peace through Jesus Christ in all things. No matter what it is or when it's coming, Jesus has you in his hands. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, I invite you to come today and to find that peace with him, in him, not for the moment, but for life. He offers it so freely, and he offers it to any who will come. Father, I thank you so much that you do care for us and you do love us and watch over us, that you are merciful to us every day. And Father, I pray for your glory to be exalted in our life, in the life of our church, for all to see, to hear, and to experience. Lord, not for ourselves, but for you. Lord, help us, we pray, to be the people you so desperately want us to be. Help us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The altar is open. Will you come?